Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:26, and that's Pacific Summer Time. Well, when we look at markets today, then the European situation continues to just dominate the headlines. But what the market is telling us is that despite the fact that we don't yet have an agreement and that the Germans are shooting down the possibilities, or you know, increasing the possibility that it isn't going to be reached by the end of the week, that the stock market is not reflecting that. We've had a very impressive bounce over the last few days in Europe, and the majority of indices were in negative territory today, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion. For example, the FTSE was up today. It was up by not much, only about 0.15%, but up nonetheless. The DAX down about just less than 0.67%. I think the Spanish index was down the most, about 0.7%. But considering that the majority of indices were up in the region of 3-4% so far this week, then this is really only taking stock. Everyone continues to think that the Greeks will eventually make the concessions that are required of them in order to continue to remain within the euro. But the theatrics are still alive and well. Unfortunately, there's no point in getting frustrated with the whole political situation, that we have to foster the humility to simply allow the market to unfold as it's going to. Nothing that we do is going to affect the situation. When we look at the majority of European indices, what we've seen is that they had this incredibly impressive advance in the early part of the year, and we've been engaged in a process of mean reversion for much of the last 8 weeks, and that the upward dynamics that we saw earlier this week are coming from the region of their respective trend means, defined by the 200-day moving averages. That's exactly what we need to see, that you're getting these emphatic upward dynamics in the region of areas of potential support. As long as that remains the case, then you'd give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. When we look at Wall Street, well, we had pretty impressive rallies here, but now we're up to the upper side of their respective ranges, and this range has been in evidence for most of the year. The S&P was down about 0.75% today, the Dow Jones down just less than 1%, and the Russell, having extended its breakout, was down today, suggesting that we're going to get a bit of consolidation. The news, such as it is, isn't particularly bearish or bullish from the perspective of the USA, but where the question is really about is in terms of liquidity. Liquidity is globally mobile, but by and large tends to stay where it is issued, and certainly Wall Street has done remarkably well from the Fed's quantitative easing program, which ended last October, and the stock market hasn't gone very much of anywhere since. What we have seen is that there's been quite a marked divergence, that we're no longer seeing the entire market rallying at the same pace, and that the biotechnology sector is far and away the clear leader. What is interesting in the biotechnology sector is that you have companies like Biogen, Amgen, and Celgene, which represent a combined 20% of the biggest ETF, all bouncing from their respective 200-day moving averages, and these are very large shares. Gilead, which had been really consolidating for about 12 months, bounced from the region of the 200-day moving average about a month ago and continues to extend its advance. Well, it's a little bit overbought in the short term, but this is also the largest constituent within the ETF and is still in the region of its highs. When we go and look at Asia, then Japan today closed out up about just more than 0.25%, but it's at 20,868. It's extending its advance, and the second section, which is capable of these incredibly consistent advances, remains on that trajectory and hit another new high in here today. What we're looking at in the Nikkei is that it's beginning to take out previous peaks, and the topics is coming back up to the glass ceiling that's been in place for the better part of 15 years. So Japan continues to look really very encouraging, and the Hong Kong market was up by about 0.25% in here as well, and this continues to look like a consolidation. The mainland Chinese market is benefiting from the fact that the banking sector has been lent assistance from the regulators in that they have raised the they've lowered the requirements for obtaining a mortgage. Until just today, it was 75% loan to value, and that's now been scrapped. Well, that's obviously good for the property market, and the Shanghai Property Index bounced rather well in here today. The A-share market is looking quite positive. It's suggesting that despite the fact that we had this very large pullback, that what they're aiming for in terms of policy is a ranging consolidation, that they could perhaps be looking at the Japanese template as an example, that you had an incredibly powerful breakout from really very depressed levels, which transitioned into a ranging consolidation with a mild upward bias before breaking out approximately 6 to 9 months later. That would be a very benign environment for the Chinese indices, and that would appear to be what they are looking for, that this remains a government-sponsored bull market, and that I think it would be very rash to assume that it is over when it has really only been in evidence for about 6 months. When we look at the commodity sector, then it's perhaps time to start paying closer attention to soft commodities. Corn was pretty much unchanged in here today. I think it was down a cent, but it had a pretty good day yesterday, and the chart is continuing to look constructive. Sugar prices have been, I think, depressed would be perhaps the most appropriate description, and they've been trending lower in a consistent manner for nearly 5 years. But they were firmer in here today. It suggests that a reversion towards the mean is looking increasingly likely, and that because it's been so consistent on the downside, it's going to be as plain as day when the consistency of that trend changes, and that would be a break in the progression of lower rally highs. In the coffee market, Robusta has been really quite firm and broke above its 200-day moving average last week and has improved on that performance in here today. Whereas Arabica Coffee has lost downward momentum but hasn't really rallied to any great extent just yet. It has this falling wedge type characteristic, which would be consistent with type 2 bottoming activity, but won't be confirmed until we see a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. But considering that, we know where the stops are, that the majority of people will be lowering their stop behind the most recent lower rally high, then there is the potential that you could get a fairly explosive breakout from this range, and not least because Robusta remains really very firm indeed. It would be rather strange if they were moving in exact opposite directions. And cocoa remains an area of relative strength by and large within the commodity sector. Platinum was a little bit firmer in here today. It was up 7, but having broken down last week, it needs to do quite a bit more than a $7 rally to really check supply dominance in here. Gold was down by about $3.50. It's around 1175 at the close, and it really needs to do quite a bit more to really demonstrate that demand is back in the driver's seat. And that would, at the present time, represent a move above $1,200 to break the most recent low, or the lower high, and above $1,225 to get back above the 200-day moving average. We haven't seen anything really particularly bullish there just yet. And silver, having been down almost 40 cents yesterday, was up a bit today, but again, not in any kind of dynamic way. That the relative strength of the US dollar represents a headwind for a lot of commodities. And that's perhaps why the fact that you're getting some of this relative strength coming through in the soft commodities sector is notable, that it's doing it in the face of what has been really quite a firm dollar. The industrial metals were reasonably steady in here today. They've been falling on consecutive weeks and are back at potential areas of support, but there hasn't been anything in the way of upward dynamics that you could hang your hat on just yet. And oil prices have been up one day, down the next. Having been up yesterday, they were down today. WTI was down three-quarters of a dollar, and Brent was down 86 cents. This is a very tight range. It's been a process of mean reversion, in that you had a reasonably good bounce, and this very inert environment, that's indicative of indecision in here. That the people who want to buy oil would really like to see OPEC starting to withdraw some of its supply, and perhaps a number of bankruptcies in the shale oil sector in order to withdraw US supply. But there hasn't really been a great deal of evidence for either of those. By the same token, the selling pressure has really started to ebb here, and that a lot of the bad news is already in the price. What we do know is that this is a range, and that eventually when it breaks out, it could be potentially powerful. What a breakout would look like, it would be a move above about $63 on WTI. Well, that would open up the door that we might get a retest of the lower side of the overhead range, which would be around $80. On the other hand, if it encounters resistance in the region of the MA, then we're probably going to see a retest of the lows. So this is a very inert environment, and a straddle on the market is probably not a bad idea, because when it goes, it's probably going to be a fairly emphatic move. Well, I think with that, I will just say that the government bond markets were a little bit firmer in here today, with treasuries up about 25 ticks. But if you look at the futures contract, well, this range is pretty similar size to the one that we've already seen. And a fairly substantial rally in terms of the price would be required to question the short-term supply dominant environment, and you just flip it around and look at the yield, that this is a similar sized reaction to the one we saw 6 weeks ago, and really a sustained move below the MA would now be required to question potential for the really long-term progression of lower rally highs to get tested on that yield chart, which could potentially take 30-year yields up towards 4% before we start to see a real test of the environment as it currently stands. I'll leave you with that for today, and wish all the best to all of you.